You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Grind Season. I'm Jason Smith, one of your co-hosts here on Grind Season and co-host of the Jason John Midday Radio Show here in Memphis, Tennessee on 92.9 FM ESPN. And it's an Odyssey station. This is my man, Anthony Sane, the tribal chief of Twitter. Yes, what sir. Up? The man who's covered the Grizzlies, written about them, passed for them for the last 9 years. You can follow him on Twitter at Sane Asylum. I suggest you do. It is great content, brother Sane. What's up, my guy?
I ain't got no damn radio show. They fired my ass. But yeah, I'm here. Grind season.
Hey, you official on grind season, baby. They messed
up.
That's
all I got, man. I'm just trying to make
you feel brother the podcast. You as official as it get. First things first, you guys can listen to us, of course, on the free Odyssey app. Download the app. Subscribe. Hit that subscribe button for us. Keep please. A couple of brothers in business, please.
Man.
It's serve for grind season. And I set up the show in this episode of grind season saying I believe we made it to episode 4.
Man, we'd have made it, man.
Yep. Grizzlies took care of business versus San Antonio since we last spoke. Although, yeah, took overtime and a couple of big performances from Ja Morant, Desmond Bane. Steven Adams, 19 rebounds in that game. Bane was just telling us how essential a piece he is to this Grizzlies core. Just got done talking about that on the last podcast. Then you see him go out there with 19 rebounds. Grizzlies 8-4 right now, heading into a big one against Memphis Friday night here, obviously, in Memphis. A big game for many reasons. Obviously, a rematch of last year's first round of the playoffs. But two, because the Grizzlies going to be debuting that City Edition uni. Ooh, they look good too, don't they?
That thing look good, man.
Yeah, they do.
They look good for real.
Have you seen remind some of the me? Go ahead.
You seen some of the other ones around the league?
I've looked at not nearly as closely as the Grizzlies one. Yeah, and I tell you what, they say that when you know seeing it a picture of the Grizzlies City uniforms with a diamond, you know, Grizzlies on it. Looks different than when you're seeing it in person. There's more of a shine on it when you actually see it in person. But we're all excited about it. Yeah, these have been in the making for some time, and it's obviously a tribute to the city's rap history, the city's musical history, a la what they did with the Isaac Hayes jerseys a couple of years ago. We'll get into that and why this game obviously is a possible standout game for the Grizzlies, maybe more so for Minnesota. We'll get into that with Sane, get his thoughts as well on that. And then, you know, I think we should get into this, and maybe Sane predicted it. I think I was on the other side. What's wrong with Minnesota? You know, they've dropped 5 of 6. Last night, Sane at one point in the loss to Phoenix, they only had 4 players on the floor. I mean, if there was ever a sign of dysfunction, it was certainly on the court last night in the double-digit loss to Phoenix. Anthony Edwards didn't look right. Maybe we can figure out what's going on with these Timberwolves, who obviously will be looking to get right here on Friday night against the Grizzlies. And then finally, excited as too, we're going to be grading the Grizzlies rookies so far. You know, yes, it's still early season, but Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, Kenny Chandler have all gotten extended minutes this season with the Grizzlies so shorthanded. So we'll get to what Sane and I both think of specifically LaRavia and Roddy. We've seen a little bit more of those two guys. Mm-hmm. They've had to step up in some spots. So that's the show. Sane is here. I am here. We're here. We're glad you're here. Make sure, again, you're subscribing to us on the free Odyssey app. Sane, I'll start the segment off with a question. Is this a statement opportunity come Friday for the Grizzlies against Minnesota? Is it more statement for them? Does it feel like that there will be a buzz in the building when you're taking account everything that's going to be going on Friday night against the team you played in the round of the playoffs last year? What you think?
Yeah, man, I think it's a really big opportunity, a really good chance to make a statement. If you look at this trade going back to the summer, everything that Minnesota did feels like they did it custom made to beat us. You know what I mean? And just being honest with you, if I'm Minnesota, if I'm a fan, if I'm a front office member, if I'm the, you know, if I'm the coaching staff, I would feel like that Memphis Grizzlies series got away from them last year. Like they had a chance to beat us last year. I understand want to make improvements, but I think that the way that they went about making improvements was not the way to go. I think that trading away three of your core pieces to your team, when I say core, I don't mean like your big three or your big four, or whatever, but core rotation pieces. You traded away major guys. You got rid of those guys. You bring in a guy like Rudy Gobert, who's a guy who you know you can't play like that in the playoffs. And then you've got Karl Anthony Towns, who has been a center his entire career in the NBA. And I've never seen a team take a center and move him down to the power forward position. I've never even heard of it. You know what I mean? And we're seeing now that it's not working well. I think if the Grizzlies can win this game tomorrow, it'll be a statement game. It'll you know, help them in their standings, of course, solidify them as being, you know, getting back into that top four possibly in the West. But I think it makes a statement to a team like Minnesota that we did this and we're still not as good as this team with the Memphis Grizzlies. And I'm expecting that to happen tomorrow. I think the Grizzlies are going to come out and look very good tomorrow.
Do you think this is more of an opportunity for, I mean, considering Minnesota is right now, you know, mm-hmm. you know, 5-6, lost 5 of the last 6, whatever it is. Is this more of the statement opportunity, or is it the Pelicans, who seem like they might actually be a little bit further along? Mm-hmm. And again, it's also nationally televised on Tuesday. Is there a difference saying in terms of like who you believe in more and do you need to make more of a statement more against one more so than the other, or are they the same? Is it a hey, you know, we're here, you guys back off type deal for both of them?
Oh, no, that Pelicans game is much bigger than this game tomorrow. Like, I feel good about tomorrow just because I think we're going to win it. And I think it'll be good to, you know, you got the new jerseys coming out, you know, those type of things. I want to stomp Minnesota just because I want them to feel like that trade that they did was for nothing. I want them to feel like it was a, you know, garbage trade, which I always thought it was. And I think coming to Memphis, then you got Anthony Edwards talking like, you know, yeah, I think you know that Memphis game is gonna, you know, boost us up. I think just seeing Memphis on their court is gonna make us play harder. If you still go out there and you stomp them tomorrow, that's a statement. But that New Orleans game, yeah, man, that's a team who's had your number for the last few years, especially when they're full strength. And that's a team who's always, no matter what you do the year before, no matter what they did the year before, all the pundits, all the guys who get paid to make predictions, they overhype, you know, New Orleans every season. That team's good this year for real, in my opinion. So I think if you can, that game against New Orleans is an even bigger matchup than the one tomorrow.
That's why I want to make sure context always important. I didn't want to overhype a game, especially when you've got one a few days later that certainly at this point in the season looks much more important.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That said, there will be clearly an energy in the building Friday night for Minnesota. We touched on it earlier. You've got these new City mm-hmm. Edition uniforms. Now, saying you more of a uniform guy yeah. than me, but even I can say this with the throwback to Memphis's rap history. These uniforms have been in the works, you know, for over a year. Feels like mm-hmm. everybody's been excited. We got the first look at them, you know, in pictures. And say, I don't know about you, man, but they're going to get all my money Friday night trying to get one for my son, gone crazy about him, and maybe get a hoodie for myself. These things, it takes you back, man, to those to those 90s Mall of Memphis, yeah, popping in them 3-6, you know, the Mystic Styles cassette tapes.
Gentlemen Diamonds, yeah. All that old stuff. Yeah, for sure. I love it. I love that the Grizzlies are embracing that local rap culture. It was something that I personally would scream from the rooftops to, like, why don't y'all just embrace Memphis rap better? Because I ball on the budget, as you know. I definitely won't be buying a jersey tomorrow. I might get a replica version, or I might go the Chinese route. I might get one that is not officially licensed by the Memphis Grizzlies.
You can't get a jersey, bro. You can't even get the jersey version of that thing.
I got a problem with paying the rent for anything, man. I mean, you know, I mean, me and you, we ball in a different bracket, Smith. You know what I mean? So, you know, but what was I about to say? I had a nice little story I was about to tell, man. You know, I got ADHD, so. But yeah, I won't be buying a jersey tomorrow. But I am super excited that they will be available to everyone who wants to get one of those. I think they're incredible. I think it's a very nice look. It takes me back to, you know, like I said, those late 90s, early 2000s in the club, listening to 3-6 Mafia and just all the Memphis rap at that time, man. I think it's a great look. But I've been screaming from the rooftops for the Grizzlies to do this. And as I talked just then, it came back to me. My story came back to me. I bought on the budget, right? So I've been to some of the close teams on the away games. Not on anybody's pocket but mine. Went to the Atlanta Hawks game. Grizzlies played the Hawks. You walk into the arena, you feel Atlanta rap smacking you in the face. You know what I mean? I went to New Orleans to watch the Grizzlies play the Pelicans. New Orleans rap music, bounce, all that stuff slammed in your face. You feel like you're at a concert. I got on the radio a year or so ago complaining, like, man, when I go to a Grizzlies game, why don't I feel Memphis rap? Like, it's a layup. It's right there in front of your face. Memphis rap is huge right now, today, in hip-hop. So much music sounds like old 3-6 Mafia stuff. You know what I mean? And I was like, man, we should see the same thing, and they're doing it. Not just the jerseys, but like I said, the imagery, the music you hear, the DJing, the Memphis Jukers. You come in, you walk into the arena, Jukers are right there. Like, Memphis hip hop is prevalent at a Grizzlies game. And I think these jerseys are just such a fitting tribute. Seems like they're nailing it on the head. I'm excited to see those on the court tomorrow for sure. I would not be purchasing one. Like I said, I'm not a jersey guy. Gabe is. I might mess around and get him one, but I don't know. I don't know, bro.
The other City Edition unis you've seen, who's is up there with the Grizzlies? Who else is, you know, man, is sharp ones?
I think Miami stuff is trash. Like, they've done this whole, like, ransom letter thing they've been doing for a while with it. I can't get with that at all. Who did I see that had a good one, man? Charlotte's is cool. There's a little dirty joke they're saying about Charlotte's. Charlotte always come hard with the jerseys, though, too. Golden State is kind of, I don't really know what they're doing. I think Phoenix is okay. I haven't seen all of them, but all the ones I've seen have been pretty cool. Yeah, man. Looking at the jerseys, there are a lot of them that I kind of like. A lot of teams took some kind of bold stuff. Teams like Chicago and Boston, they don't really change their shit up at all too much. I don't like the Pacers. Houston came back with that joint, like the Steve Francis joints. You seen it?
Mm-hmm.
They came back with the Steve Francis style joints. Charlotte, they've got a lot of jokes about their jerseys. I'll let y'all look that one up on your own. I like Milwaukee's. That's pretty dope. Dallas is pretty clean. Detroit came with a green joint. I don't really know the symbolism of that. I'm going to tell you what I'm tired of. Now, I don't know if Minnesota's is trash, but I'm going to tell you what I'm tired of, though. Like, New Orleans, shout out to y'all, man. But, like, they probably gonna be mad at me for this one, but like, everything New Orleans does is like the whole Mardi Gras French quarters. Like, man, y'all got a lot more going on. Man, I get it, bro, but it's like, come on, man. Like, I'm about tired of looking at all that. But yeah, but shout out to everybody's. Washington came with like kind of like a pink red joint, kind of like the Spurs joint is dope. Philadelphia's is trash. Orlando, they don't really do it, mix it up a lot. The Thunder need to make that their real jersey. I don't know if y'all seen that one, but yeah. Shout out to all the city edition joints dropping.
Well, Memphis is going to look good. Certainly going to look good on Friday night against Minnesota. Hopefully they'll play as well as they look, certainly. Yeah, we touched on it earlier, and of course, you listen to Brian Season here with Anthony Sane and your boy Jason Smith. Download us on the get us on the free app, download that free. Subscribe to Grind Season, search for, and you can find us easy. And it moves us on to topic number two here of the podcast. Touched on it earlier. Minnesota's coming in here struggling, having dropped five of its last six. They're actually 5-7 at this point in the season, coming off a 127 loss to Phoenix at home Wednesday night, a game in which Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, both got an early foul trouble, saying we're off the floor with three fouls early on, and allowed Phoenix to run off early. Minnesota never really threatened. There's a couple of things here with Minnesota. You touched on it, the Gobert trade, and how you know you had your doubts from the get-go. It does feel like they made that move to sort of say, okay, this can get us past the Grizzlies. I don't know, saying it felt like an all-in move for a team that is not ready to go all in. This team hadn't learned how to win. We saw that in last year's playoffs. And you add a guy like Rudy Gobert, who's never been in the playoffs. My question was always, how does he help you? But the other question about Minnesota I got for you, saying is, we all expected Anthony Edwards the next step, right? Perhaps he even like jump. This year, if you look, the numbers are exactly the same last year. It's 21.3 points per game, exactly what it was last year. This year, he's only shooting around 44%. But the last three games in particular, saying he's really struggled, 16-39 from the field, averaging just 15 points. Sounds like he wants to come on here. He'd love to end this slump against the Grizzlies and do it on Friday night. But saying, is it a deal where just wait, the jump is coming, or is something else going on with Anthony Edwards in terms of his fit with this unit?
I'll tell you what it is, man. Like, okay, Anthony Edwards is a third-year player. Now I'm gonna say this. I stand for Anthony Edwards like few people in the league. Like, I love Anthony
Edwards. I like him too. I do.
He's a third-year player. I'm gonna tell you what the problem with Minnesota was. They traded all that stuff away for Rudy Gobert. They should have made that trade for Donovan Mitchell. Because we've seen in Cleveland that Donovan Mitchell really is a point guard. Like, he never should have been he's too small to be a shooting guard. He should have been a point guard the entire time. Imagine if you add a experienced player like Donovan Mitchell to that lineup. An actual guy who we see can make decisions well with the ball in his hand, can get assists, can score on the ball. You make him your point guard. Because the problem with that team was not any of the guys they got rid of. It wasn't the center position. It wasn't rim protecting. None of that. The problem on that team was D'Angelo Russell, who's an idiot. That was the problem, man. That is the problem. D'Angelo Russell is not a point guard. He's not a good point guard beside Anthony Edwards at all. If you want to make a deal, you should have got Russell off your roster and traded whatever draft capital you have to get him off your roster. And you want to go to Utah, go get Donovan Mitchell. But what they did was adding another center, and it's terrible. Like, I argue with Peter Evanson about this. I've seen people on Twitter talk about this. I never knew how anybody thought this was going to work. And we're seeing that it's a failure, man. Like, you've got two bigs, and one of your bigs is a rim protector who can't get out on the perimeter. Your other big, who is a center, he's not a power forward. He can't get out on the perimeter as well, and it's just not working. And I hope we kill them guys tomorrow. I'll be there in the building tomorrow. I hope they murder them.
I'd ask you this, saying, who's the leader of that team? Like, we know here there's a pecking order. You know, John Morant.
You know what I mean? That's another thing, too. When you trade, what's his name? Shit, man. Point guard, plays for the Lakers now. Patrick Beverly. When you trade a guy like Patrick
Beverly, on a vocal leadership role for them.
Yeah, like he wasn't like the leader of the team, but he gave him an identity, bro. He gave him a culture. He's not Tony Allen. But imagine if the Grizzlies, after that 2011 run, that first year when we lost to the Thunder. Imagine if we traded Tony Allen after that. You know what I mean? That's almost what they did. That is what they did when you really think about it, man. Because Tony Allen, he was a big deal to us at that point. But I'm sure Patrick Beverly is a huge deal to people in Minnesota as well. That's basically like if we made that run in 2011 where we came up short, we was like, oh, man, we need something else. Let's trade this Tony Allen guy. And it was such a horrible decision to me to get rid of some of the guys they got rid of. Look at those guys in Utah, what they're doing, man. They're really helping out their team. Yeah. I don't understand anything Minnesota does. Now, of course, Minnesota might come out and beat us tomorrow, which would just make this whole random on look like a bunch of nonsense. But I'm confident in the big picture that this Minnesota experience is just an experiment. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, I think you make a great point about Pat Bev in terms of, okay, he's not your overall leader, but vocally, man, you could see that for he was good for Anthony. Like, yeah. Anthony, I did, you know, the two of them standing on the scores table, stuff like when you've got a young talent like that, I think about Jay Crowder that first year for Ja and how he helped empower him, right? Mm-hmm. A vet in the locker room that said, okay, there's something here. This guy's special. Let me empower him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let me give him all the confidence in the world. And I don't know who's doing that for Anthony Edwards in that organization right now, because Rudy Gobert is not the guy. He's not the guy to do that for you.
Pointing fingers and all, like, no, that team, man, I hope we beat them tomorrow to the point where it just makes them implode. Like, I want to see, like, some toxic shit tomorrow, man. I want to see that team implode on the FedEx Forum floor. I don't think you understand how much I'm anticipating and hoping that we just demolish them tomorrow. Because we're going to talk noise to them the entire time, man, for sure.
Man, this could go one. Anthony Edwards could come out and have a big one, break out of the slump, or he could shoot him out of the game. Yeah, we know with their dysfunction and everything else.
We've seen them be a monster before. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
We've
seen both sides of it.
Shit, but I'm out here now. I'm in the water now. I might as well just keep paddling away. I'm out here now.
This episode is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Start shopping now at CarMax.com.
Refresh the summer vibes with TikTok and you could win a Lollapalooza VIP experience in Chicago. Visit TikTokSummer.com for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states and D.C. 18 plus. Ends June 30th, 2024. Void in PR and where prohibited. See TikTokSummer.com for rules and free entry without UPC.
You listen to Grind Season with your boys Anthony Sain and Jason Smith. Be sure to download the free Odyssey app. Subscribe. Keep a couple doing this podcast. Just search for Grind Season. You can find it anywhere that you get your podcast. On to our final segment, saying, talking about these Grizzlies rookies, I think going into the season, you knew that with Jaren Jackson down, there'd be a chance for some of these guys, Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, to get some extended minutes rather than just going straight to the G League. And so we've seen, you know, at times Jake LaRavia come in there, have some games, 9 rebounds, seen him knock down the shots. He's shooting over 50% from three. David Roddy, we've had a fairly decent look at. Certainly more for those two than we've seen with Kennedy. In terms of what you've seen so far, and it's for the most part, you know, small sample size, what have you thought, first off, of Jake LaRavia?
I'm very optimistic about Jake. I said coming into this summer, right, I was on, you know, my own show, or you guys' show, or a podcast, or whatever I was doing. All I need is one guy from this rookie class to emerge, to show that he's the guy that can belong in this rotation. Because I thought that guys like the combination of John Conchar and whatever Zaire gives you, I felt that would replace everything that Anthony Melton did and more. So I thought it would exceed what Anthony Melton gave you. And I thought that if you can just get one of those guys, he's a LaRavia or Roddy, to hit, is going to, you know, replace what Kyle did as well. And I think if anything else, if nothing else, Jake LaRavia can make 3-point shots. Jake LaRavia has shown that not only can he shoot the ball, he might be the second best spot up shooter on his team beside Desmond Bain, but he's also crafty as far as being able to put the ball on the ground a little bit.
A little step back and three action the other night too from him. Yeah.
Decision making, playmaking, making good passes. Defense, steals and blocks, he gets them. You know what I mean? He's not the fastest kid on his feet, but he's a very high IQ basketball player. That's something that you heard about. When it comes down to the basketball IQ, that's something you got to see on the court to really understand it. And he does a lot of things right. I'm super excited about Jake, man. He his jump shot is getting better and better. His confidence is getting better and better. And I told people, don't worry about people like, man, in some league, he can't make a shot, and I was at the open practice and he couldn't make a shot and all. I said, man, it's the difference between playing with Kennedy Chandler. We'll talk about Kennedy later. No taking shots at Kennedy. It's the difference between playing with Kennedy Chandler in the summer league and playing with John Morant, one of the better point guards in the league.
Yeah.
When the lights really come on and playing with Ja, like I said, it would has boosted his confidence. And Jake's looking like a hell of a player, man. And I think the minutes he's playing now are kind of, you know, where he's going to fit in the rotation when things get going for real, when we have, you know, Jaren back and Zaire back. So I think he's still kind of carved those minutes out. I would not be surprised if by season's end, he starts cutting into some of Jitty's minutes, though. John Conchar has been great, but LaRavia is, you know, he's taller. He shoots the ball just as well. They kind of got some of that same craftiness about themselves, especially on their defensive end. But I'm really excited about Jake's promise here with this team.
Now, Sad, I couldn't agree with you more on LaRavia from what we've seen. It's not just a guy that's going out there, can't contribute if he's not knocking down the three. I've seen a guy stick his nose in there, yeah, being willing to do the dirty work. And I like the little bit of grit with him. You know, he's got the tools and the skill level, but you also see some grit and some high IQ that you like as well. Mm-hmm. Now I'm having a harder time figuring out how David Roddy is going to fit in, if he's going to fit in. Are a bit of a tweener, was 6'5", 250. Is he a wing guy? Is he more of an inside guy? What have you heard so far about Roddy and his rookie and what the expectation level should be for him?
Yeah, Roddy, I think he's a wing. There are a lot of people saying they thought he would be like a small ball power forward. I think he's going to be a wing with the Grizzlies. I was joking with my good friend Parker Fleming, Grizzly Bear Blues. He made a good comparison. He said if you look at how they're using Roddy, it's almost like they're using him to be another version of Dylan, because they're trying to use him to be like the guy who guards the best defender on the other team, a point of attack defender, as well as a guy who kind of, you know, he comes off the screens, kind of using the way they're using Dylan offensively. And I call him a domesticated Dylan, probably a much more teachable, moldable version of Dylan Brooks. I think this is what they're ultimately trying to do with him, to kind of create more Dylan Brooks insurance. I think his biggest struggle is just adjusting to the NBA game and adjusting to his role. That's something that you see like in a guy like Jonathan Kuminga with the Golden State Warriors, who has been an alpha his entire life. He's been the best player on the court. Taking those type of guys and asking them to play a role in the NBA, sometimes guys just don't adjust to that. Some guys are not made for microwave minutes. Sometimes some guys have to be in the flow. They've got to get a lot of minutes before they can get going and to feel like they're part of the offense. Case in point, Javon Carter. Javon Carter did not work for us when we tried to bring him off the bench and come in and just play a role real fast. But yeah, Now that he's playing in a role that you would assume is too big for him with Milwaukee, he's thriving, because some guys are just made like that. Roddy, he's still adjusting being that guy who could come in those spot minutes and contribute, because he's used to being this alpha in a small school like Colorado State. But now you see him in the NBA and he's trying to adjust his game to that. I mean, and that's fine. There's no need to rush to David Roddy. We already have, you know, Buck Wild, non-domesticated David Roddy's already on this team and Dylan Brooks. So there's no need to rush him at all. I trust the process with him. He's struggling, and he's had games where you've seen flashes of really greatness from him. But there's no rush to bring him along, like I said. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a hell of a player. I think he fits the culture. I think he likes it here, and I think the players like him. It seems like Dylan's kind of taking him under his wing. So, I mean, he'll be fine, man. I mean, we haven't really seen a lot of him as far as the good. We've seen a lot of oohs and ahs in the bad way about him, but I think he'll work out, man. This time last year, just being honest with you, he looks better to me now than Zaire looked at this point last year. So, we'll see, man.
Yeah.
Zaire, Zaire was looking kind of
Zaire to start. It did. Yeah. It did. Yeah. And then we certainly had the Santi example last year.
Maybe this is a
miss for the office, but it ended up not being. And so, you know, a lot of times you got to let that thing cook. You got to let that thing bake. And David Roddy certainly going to be a minute. Kennedy Chandler, I ask it this way, Sam, because we know he's behind Ja. You're behind Tyus Jones. You knew that when the Grizzlies brought you in. Just in terms of, do you see him in the future, whether it's with the Grizzlies, somebody as a backup point guard in this league, a guy can hold How do you see him? You know, is the ceiling higher for Kennedy Chandler? Just what have you thought so far of him and what he can be for an organization?
Yeah, man, Kennedy will be fine too. I know I'm just giving everybody a huge thumbs up, giving them, but just being real, man, he's a sneaky athletic point guard, probably way more athletic than people probably are aware of. Great on-ball defender. I think that he can, you know, pretty much wreak havoc and create guys to have to, you know, change direction and those type of things already in the NBA as a rookie. I think he's a guy who can kind of hold his own a little bit defensively. And like I said, he's a guy who's got time. Tyus Jones signed a 2-year deal, and I think by year three, that Kennedy definitely be a guy who's, you know, ready to come in and contribute. Again, no rush with him, man. Like he's an active roster guy, so he gets the ability to not only go to play, you know, in the G League with the Memphis Hustle, but he's actually on the Grizzlies bench as well to see things up close. And I'm not sure how they're going with him because he hasn't reported to the Hustle yet. But I'm sure I'm hoping they're going to spend kind of like he's going to have a dual role where he'll do some Hustle games. I don't want him just to be sitting on the bench. I don't want him just to be sitting around. So hopefully he'll get some run with the Hustle. But he's a hometown kid. I sat behind his parents last game I was at. So I'm pulling for Kennedy. I think he'll be fine. I haven't seen him make a shot yet.
He hadn't made a three yet.
I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him make a three yet is what I mean. But I know that's in his bag. I know that was part of the reason why he was a heralded player by the Memphis Grizzlies organization, because he's one of those guys who can be a playmaker defensively. His high basketball IQ, and he can knock down shots. We haven't seen that yet. It's kind of a mystery why. I mean, because even like in preseason and summer league, he wasn't, you know, shooting the ball well. But I think he'll be fine, man. I think that added pressure playing for your city in your city hurts. It hurts a lot of guys. And I think he could be struggling with that, but he'll get it together, man. Because did you see the dance video, though? Did you see him in kind of leading the kind of that campaign role almost?
No, I saw, you know, we were both at that open practice and saw what he could do there, but not. Yeah. I hadn't seen that he in that campaign Oklahoma City role.
Yeah, he was kind of leading.
Want to play too much. You don't get pigeonholed in that role.
Yeah, don't get stuck.
Cam did for a minute. Man, it set my boy Cam. You talk about another Memphis guy, Cam Payne. It set his career back, felt like it did for Cam Payne. You want to be known for more than just the dance guy.
It seems like being a top level Memphis guard, man, comes with juking and carrying on, man.
Yeah,
gyrating.
Yeah. Be part of your repertoire.
Part of the package.
Don't let that be the only thing. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, we know. Man. Yeah, I've got the utmost, you know, confidence in Kennedy as well. And having watched him grow up, you know, here in Memphis. And the other thing he's got going for him, saying, is that he's got Jaren in his corner. You know, he's got a great relationship with John. You know, that John's taking him under his wing. Kennedy's future is bright for him. It feels like as well, whether that's with the Grizzlies or someone else. That's the episode. Today's episode 4. Make sure you're listening to a free Odyssey app. We certainly appreciate those of you that have, and certainly welcome in any new listeners. Hit that subscribe button. Search for Grind Season. You can find us on that free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Big one, Friday, Minnesota statement time before you'll take on an even more game New Orleans team next week. But for Anthony Sane, I'm Jason Smith. This is Grind Season. Stay on your grind.